Welcome to the Cabin Culture Podcast, where we spend a little more time diving deeper into all the fun parts of cabin culture. We like to think of this as both the material and imagined expressions of how cabin lovers, dwellers, builders, and designers wish to live a more simple and authentic life. On this episode, I'm talking to Jasmine, the host behind North Cascades Haven in Marble Mount, Washington. Jasmine renovated and launched the cabin only 6 months ago and has already generated an astounding social media following of 120,000 followers on Instagram and rapidly growing. Her background as a data scientist in the aerospace industry likely helped with this, and today we're going to dive deeper into how she made this happen and her tips for other hosts. Plus, she developed quite a knack for interior design throughout this process. And she's going to share a bunch of her insight and advice for designing or tweaking the design on your own cabin. As always, thanks for joining us. And if you like what you hear on the podcast every Wednesday, please feel encouraged to leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify or share some of your favorite parts over on Apple Podcast. This is the best way for us to reach new listeners and only takes just a couple of minutes. So if you're listening to this on your phone and are not driving a vehicle, now would be an amazing time to do that. Thanks again, and let's get to it. Jasmine, it's great to meet you, and it's great to have you on the podcast.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, Janice. Yes, I've seen your Instagram and early on in our cabin journey and was always inspired by you. And I was like, man, that even just seeing Instagram and numbers and all of that, I was like, that was always kind of the pipe dream.
Yes. So, well, and that's interesting because you're at like 110,000 followers now, but the most impressive part of this, guys, is like in 6 months. She did this in 6 months. So I spent, to give context, I spent the last 3 years, I started it in 2.5 years building the Instagram to 120,000, and you did it in 6 months. So we have a lot of questions to ask you about social media. But before we do that, I want people to know a little bit more about your background, because I think that's going to shape all the conversations we have today, because you bring such a unique perspective. Tell us about what you do in the real world.
Yes. So, I'm kind of unique, I think, in that I'm an engineer, I'm a mechanical engineer by degree, but my job in real life is a data scientist consultant. And so it's not
for what industry?
Aerospace.
That makes it even cooler. When I saw that, I immediately was like, I think I know what aerospace is, but I Googled it and I was like, heck yeah, this is awesome.
It's super fun. And I love my day job. And for hobbies though, we've always loved exploring, and the North Cascades of Washington are like our favorite place in the world. And so we've been to the area and we were very familiar with it before we started the cabin. But I've always loved interior design. And so I've got this kind of left brain, right brain thing going on, where I've got my science and engineering brain and then very logical base. And then I've got my creativity side. But I think they tie in so well together, because so much of like the design and decisions and everything that comes with we didn't build, but just the interior of the cabin and how we run it logistically, I think still falls into the engineering kind of brain and the structure and engineering process and being very streamlined with that. So I think it ties in really well, but it's maybe not a typical background of somebody who would want to start a cabin rental.
No. And I also think it ties in really well to the marketing side, because what I shared on Instagram today, this will be dated once the podcast comes out, but was all about the strategy behind Reels and the algorithm and the numbers. And someone who is a data scientist, I'm guessing you have studied a lot of that pretty extensively to lead to that kind of growth. Is that true?
Yeah, I look at it a little too much, but
I can relate. I'm also a data nerd, which is why I'm so excited about this conversation.
I haven't built anything out yet for Instagram, but it's one of my goals is to throw it into a data science software that I work with and be able to basically understand the try to like decode the algorithm almost, which I have no idea if that's even possible, but just to give a more understanding of like what performs well, based on, you know, number of shares versus like to real or like to watch ratio versus, how long somebody watches, things like that, that I think are so interesting. And the only thing I've been able to kind of decipher from just looking at my reels and the ones that have, especially the ones that are over a million, being able to see that consistently like 7 to 10 seconds. And if more than 50% of people watch it, like for the whole time, then that's what I've kind of deciphered as a key element of somebody that watches a video, or if more than half the people watch the whole length of the video, then it tends to do a lot better than ones that are maybe drop off down to 25% or something.
Okay. So tip number one I'm hearing is to make short reels. Is that true?
I guess it depends. I like to kind of do variety, but 7 to 10 seconds is where it seems to fit. I guess it depends on the content you're making. If it's like beautiful cabin front kind of content, then maybe people don't want to sit and watch that for a whole minute. But if you're talking and interacting, or if you're doing an activity, then longer is good, I think.
Yeah. So when you first started your account, did you have experience on social media prior to that? Or was this like your first entry into it where you started studying it? What experience did you bring to the creation of the account?
None. Well, I have my own personal Instagram, okay, which I've had since like high school, but that was just posting photos and stuff and no reels or videos. And so my entry point was fairly limited. And as you know, I don't have a marketing background, but I have such a sense of beauty for things and seeing what, like, even like the empathetic side of what do people like to see, what's interesting. And a huge part of my motivation for starting the Instagram was twofold. The first, because the North Cascades of Washington is not a well-known area. It's not a well-known national park, and it's one of the least visited. And it just, it's not got a lot of infrastructure around it, which is why we started the cabin there in the first place, was because there's just not a lot of places around to stay. There's no national park in, you know, there's one in the town outside the national park, which is where we're at. And so I wanted to be able to show the world the beauty that Washington offers here, that it's more than just Seattle, the city. It's more than just Mount Rainier, which is also amazing.
Yeah.
But just the American Alps is what the North Cascades are called. And people don't know about it. And I really wanted to showcase that. And because we've done so much adventuring, camping, backpacking, kayak camping, all of the things we do it every year. And we've got some more trips planned this year. I just wanted to showcase that more. So that was one of the reasons. And then the other reason was to be able to showcase the cabin in all seasons and how beautiful it is right over the river, which is a super unique quality just throughout the seasons, so that people could see it and think, this is such a cozy cabin. I want to have a little getaway here. I want to be able to find peace and comfort and joy and just get away from the norm and not escape reality, but just find a place to take a break from it and break from the normal cycle of life and really reflect about just everything in life and in a place that's very focus on solitude and nature. And so I wanted to do that as well, to be able to book for the winter and spring months when the national park is mostly closed.
Yep.
And so, because it's more of a seasonal park, there's still parts of it that are open for sure. And it's beautiful, but the main road through the park does close in the winter. And so that was the main reason too. And it worked a lot better than I thought, but I think.
Yeah. Tell us about your occupancy rate right now. If I decided that I wanted to come visit your cabin, as I have already decided, because it's beautiful, when would be my next opportunity to come visit?
Well, we just had a cancellation for 4th of July, actually. So technically.
Okay.
But other than that, next January is our first availability.
Which is crazy, because a lot of people ask me about how our Instagram connects to bookings, and it's hard for me to answer because we're really careful with our calendar and we open it every 3 months. But your calendar has been open and you are fully booked throughout the rest. It is January and you are fully booked throughout the rest of the year. So I feel like, do you feel like that's mostly Instagram? Do you feel like there are other factors at play?
I'd be surprised if it wasn't Instagram. And so there are elements of, and I'm sure people who are visiting in the summer and all that might've seen it. But we've been booked for our summer and fall for peak season for the national park for a long time. Definitely I would say 90%+ is going to be coming from Instagram. And it's so sweet too. People will come and they say, hey, I found your cabin on Instagram. Like, can't wait to stay, things like that. So it's definitely a huge factor with just the booking rate that we've had and even just exposure. And I'm sure there's lots of elements, like maybe we could charge a little more, but I already think that we're charging so much. And so it's just really amazing to see that impact that it's had. And I had never, ever dreamed of it. Like when I started the Instagram, like I said, I was inspired by yours and a couple others that I saw in the 50K range. And I just had like the stars in my eyes, like, wow, one day in years, I will hit 50K. That was like the goal. And so let alone, 100K in 6 months. Like I don't have, I can try to explain it, but I think ultimately it just comes back to showcasing what's unique about the cabin, what the audience likes to see, which is really pretty nature, a lot of times nature, a cozy environment. I try to do things that are in the perspective of the viewer who's watching. So instead of saying, hey, everybody, or addressing the group, I try to address an individual person of like doing a point of view reel or something that talks about, the experience that they could have there, not collective whole. And so, because it's always one person on the other side of the screen, even though it might be 3 million, it's really one person.
Oh, and that's so interesting. I've never thought about it like that, but that makes total sense. If you feel like you're part of a group rather than you talking straight to me, that's going to have a different impact in how connected I feel to you and how that relationship feels a little bit different, more personal.
Yeah. And there's definitely the community side of it too. And the collectivity side of it. But when it comes to individual stuff, and I need to get better. I don't do any talking reels. I have not ventured into that yet. I'm still a baby at this, I claim. So, trying to figure out what I can incorporate and trying to kind of venture into more of my own personality. But yeah. I also try to keep that separate. Like, people don't care about me. They care about the cabin, right? They care about the nature. They don't care about the person behind the screen. Not yet.
I don't know if that's true.
Eventually. But for now, it's like, you know, I don't say, oh, I'm a data science consultant and here's all, I love cats and Taylor Swift. Like, I don't say things like that, but I'm trying to get more, that's the growth I think I want to have, is get more personal with it and share more design tips and things about how the cabin came to be and how we found it, maybe more for the Airbnb host side of things as well. And just continue to do that mix. But it's been super fun. And I think that's an element too that I like, is that I genuinely enjoy doing it. I enjoy making the reels, posting the photos, having photographers come stay. And it makes it a lot easier when you actually enjoy what you do there.
Yes. That's what I always say, is like, if you hate Instagram, then you should not make it a goal to grow your Instagram to a whole bunch of people. Or hire it out. But every step of it's going to be miserable for you if you're doing it. But there are other ways to market and other opportunities to really stand out in those spaces. Yeah. So figure out which one you like. I have several follow-up questions from what you said. So the first one is, I have found the reels that most often go viral. I learned quickly in my cabin what I call the money shots, the shots that like always seem to resonate well with people. And if paired with the right music, will go viral pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. I have a sense as to what your money shots are, but if you were to identify like, okay, what's that?
It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. What do you think? I looked at your Instagram a lot and I'm like, okay, I can see this. But what do you think your money shots
are? Oh yeah. Anything with the river. I mean, the river is just absolutely stunning. So for those of you who haven't seen our place, we have a river that's a whitewater river that's glacier fed right behind the cabin. And I mean like the post for the deck and then the river. It's
like right there.
The cabin was built in 1967. And so it was an old Sears catalog kit that the previous owners then built onto. It's got an amazing history to it. And it's, I think we're the fourth owners. And so legally you cannot build a place as close to the river. But with how smart the builders were and the ones who first built it, was that they added extra erosion support, and the riverbed is rock. There's no sand or dirt. It's really just rock. And so they were able to build really close to it, and it survived now 60 years, being able to just be this beautiful cabin, and of course got integrated water eventually. And it's off grid, so we run on solar with a backup generator.
I didn't realize it was off grid.
It is. Yeah. There's no power in the little community. And so most of the other places around are like RV sites or things like that, but it's pretty sparse, any other buildings that are there. And so ours is pretty unique to be this full, beautiful cabin and to be that close to the river. I think the part of Instagram that's, I think, and has gone viral and has been shocking is just seeing how close the river is and how fast it can be and how it changes through the season. Like my most popular reel that has 17 million views is one where I just showcase the river, you know, when it's high and when it's low. And when it's low, it's this beautiful blue green going through the rocks, kind of cascading down. And when it's high, it's like this raging, like class 4 white water that comes up right under the deck. And so it's a little scary. Just, it kind of looks scarier in the video than it feels in real life, but you can definitely feel your heart pounding when it's there. And it's just like such an experience. And it's so loud when it's high, you can't even talk on the deck. But it's just, I think that element for Instagram of that uniqueness of something you don't see every day, but then also kind of a shock factor of like, wow, like that's really crazy. Or that just, I didn't expect that, or something that kind of makes someone think instantly, oh wow, like that's cool. Or that's different. Yeah. Was really catching and made that real. And I didn't use any audio for that. That was just the sound of the river.
Which really?
So I kind
that's
of
even more impressive, because I do feel like the ones of mine that really take off and hit a million that are just the inside, it's also the combination of picking the trending audio at the right moment and like kind of riding that wave too. So impressive.
I had some of that too. Like my other one, actually my very first one that went viral was one where I did a combination of things. So I did a combination of, it was all the elements I've talked about of the river, but it was like, I think I said a caption of, if you stay here or you stay here, but the real view is dot, dot, dot. And because it was like the river view and everyone's like, wow, it's beautiful. And then I showed one of the most popular places in the North Cascades National Park, which is Diablo Lake. And that is just a stunning turquoise, opaque color water that's completely real. Someone accused me of using AI and I was like, thank you. Yes, it's that
cool. What a compliment.
Yeah. I was like, it's not AI at all. It's such a real color. But it was that shocking factor of like people wanted to wait to see what was coming. And then it delivered, I guess, in terms of the most incredible water you've ever seen with the mountains and all of the stuff and the trees. And so that was my first go viral. And that was with the trending audio. And so it was that combination and an audio that had less than 10,000 views that trended for a long time.
Yep.
So there was, and you can never kind of guess that, right? You can kind of know based on what's catchy or what fits with your theme. But I think that was it just fit too perfectly. And it was like 11 PM and I was like, oh, this would be kind of a fun thing. And I just make up reels on the spot. I have some planning that I do, but I definitely do not strategize in a way that.
Me neither.
Okay.
It's less fun if you do that. Like I don't feel emotionally connected to it versus coming up with it every day. It's like, what conversations have I had? Or like, what have people asked about? It's like very responsive and flexible, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that would take some of the fun out of it, like you said. And it's not like Instagram's not my livelihood. So I think there's a difference there where if it's your livelihood, then maybe there's some more planning and adjustment you have to have. And I've got kind of the longer term future goals around it. Like I said, adding in more of my personality and just different functions of how we got the cabin started and such. But yeah, I think when it comes to just coming up with stuff, it's part luck, part knowing your audience, knowing what audience you want to have with, if, you know, who do you want to stay, both your ideal guest, your ideal audience. And so I was really looking at anybody who loves the mountains and wants to get outside more and adventure more. And just like, I'm super passionate about helping more people get outside and showing them there's things to do. Like I love, love, love the comments. I have another one that's gone viral lately that basically shows, I don't know if you saw the trend. It's I stole the trend idea from it and used the audio for that, but it's like, oh, it's not Scotland. It's not Canada. It's not New Zealand. It's the North Cascades. And so I like did that kind of progression for it. And so you're looking at all these beautiful sites. And I had some great comments that were like, this has inspired me to do more day trips. Like I can't, like I have back problems, so I can't do backpack anymore, but I want to come visit and see this. And just people who are commenting, like, I didn't even know this existed. I want to go experience it. And just that inspiring piece of it. Like that's like probably what I love most about sharing on Instagram is just seeing people like excited about getting outdoors and doing more nature.
Well, and that really aligns with your goals too, of filling your calendar, right? Because I feel like in my case, a lot of the inspiration comes from the inside of the cabin. So it's just people asking about like paint colors and where do I source this? Cool, where do I buy the cabin plans versus like, how do I come stay there? So one of the things that I love about yours is it really does connect you to the outside that's right there. Yeah. And I feel like even for those, like I live across the country, right? So I haven't thought too seriously about going immediately, though it's definitely on my radar, especially now that I know the 4th of July is open. I literally have a backpacking trip in my calendar and we have yet to determine where we're going.
Ooh.
So I'm going to ask you more about that later. But so you find people who are going to come visit there, whereas I find people who want to replicate what we've done with the cabin. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. And I found good community around there, but yours is so aligned with your goals in a way that I've found myself in this tough spot where it's like, I want to support these people and their dream is to own a cabin, right? So I want to support them in that. But it doesn't actually serve my marketing goals of getting them to come stay at my cabin. Yours is very aligned. If you had to give advice to someone who was just starting an Instagram account, because this wasn't as far away for you, this was just 6 months ago that you started, what would be like the first three things you tell them to do?
Ooh.
I'm going to brainstorm with you what my top three would be, and then we can compare.
Definitely. I'd say hire a photographer, which is kind of the basic for getting maybe started. We had a couple and I was so lucky to go viral before we even had our first influencer stay, but I kind of researched different influencers that would fit the audience and people who are outdoorsy related, people who had stayed at other cabins and had done really cool reels. And that was kind of the focus for how do we grow kind of in the future.
Yeah.
And I was so blown away that somebody even accepted to come stay for free. I was like, what? You're not going to charge me? Like, that's great. So that was kind of a focus for me early on, but when just getting started, like post really cool photos, maybe a little bit of background about the place. I really would emphasize what's in the area to do. or like what makes your cabin or your whatever stay you have unique? Is it this beautiful, charming Victorian house in the downtown in Old Town, right? Like what's unique about that and what's special? Or is it a cabin in the woods where maybe there's not a lot of like hiking around, but the experience really is just a time of solitude? And focusing on like what makes your place unique, that's going to make it stand out from any other Airbnb stay. And if it is just a stay in the city and you're just like, hey, like it's just a place for someone to crash, then emphasize what's there around to do. Why is it the best place for that? And just showing that through Instagram, through reels, through photos, of course. And I need to do better at posting more photos. I have more fun with reels and need to post some more photos.
Well, I don't post photos barely at all anymore, other than I still use, when we have professional photographers come, I use them as the cover image of the reel.
Often. Oh, okay. Yeah, cool.
So that it looks good on the grid, but I almost never post photos. They just don't perform the same as reels.
Yeah. Although I feel like that's actually changing. And I had seen a video of somebody who was on, I think they were like worked for Meta and they were talking about the algorithm and they were saying like, people are kind of craving photos more again. So I don't know. I might be speaking totally
out of line.
They've
been saying that for a while.
Yeah. Okay.
Over 6 months.
But the photos that I've done have been doing well. I think there's a mix of, actually what I would say is when somebody goes to your page, like if you're starting a brand new Instagram, you want to make sure the grid is full. So even if it's day one, I would say within the first week, make sure you have at least 9 posts. Just like fill it out.
That's really good advice.
Individual photos. Yeah. You don't have to worry about reels necessarily right away. But make it really aesthetically beautiful and things don't have to match, right? But just like, you don't want a picture of a grass here and picture of the kitchen here, like make it at least, I don't know, like a good mixture, but not necessarily random, I guess. And so I think just like when someone sees your page, also information wise, make sure the information you have about your place is listed in your bio. Personally, I don't list my name at all in my bio. I think that's more up to personal preference. I think I say the dreamiest cabin in the Pacific Northwest, the river cabin,
which is
fact, but I'm just kidding.
Fact, absolutely.
But showcasing of like, oh, why is this unique? And then that I think is set someone's mind for, oh, it's dreamy. It's going to be even like a romanticized element of it and just calm and peaceful and beautiful. And so just assigning a word to it like that, I think has helped too.
Yep.
And then also just describing like next to the national park at 2 hours from Seattle, like key elements that people are curious about that I would get messages on of like, where is this? And I still do, which is fine.
For SEO reasons, because Instagram is now functioning as like everything you write on a caption is going to function as SEO. So if someone's searching for that, they're going to find you. So that's smart for a couple of reasons. Yeah.
Yeah. And just highlighting key areas of like, why should someone follow your page? So like, look, take yourself as a consumer, which I think most of us are. If we have Instagram for business, we're probably going to be on Instagram for personal stuff too, or at least watch other people's reels. You know, why would you choose to follow somebody? Is it because they've got really good quality videos or really beautiful content? Is it because they are educating you on something? Mm-hmm. I actually follow the one rule that I probably follow the most that I'd heard somewhere was the 3 E's. Have you heard of that?
No.
Okay. So it's basically the idea of like any content you post should be one of the 3 E's. Is it entertaining, educational, or emotional? And so the idea of like, does it make you feel something when you watch it? Or are you educating somebody? Mm-hmm. Or is it really entertaining? Yeah. So I think the river view that I have the reel I have that has 17 million views, that's just pure entertainment. Like it's like, whoa, like that's cool. It's a little bit of a roller coaster versus one of the national park ones might be more educational or emotional, like look how beautiful this is. And so
yeah,
a combination. But I try to align it to like, does it fit one of those 3 E's before I post it? And maybe I alter my caption if it's like more informational based, or I actually just posted one about the fall larches here, which is kind of a unique thing in our area where these pine trees basically turn gold and they lose their pine needles. And it's a super unique phenomena. And so I kind of shared about that and shared some, you know, oh, this happens end of September through early October and some information about it. So a little bit more entertaining, but also educational and trying to kind of tie them together. But otherwise, if you're just posting pretty photos, like that's great too, but that might not be motivation enough for somebody to say, hey, that's really cool. I want to follow that.
especially right now, I feel like, okay, I'm going to summarize your three key points and then really hone in on that last one, because I think that was the best one. So your first one was hire photographers. I totally agree. It's going to, if you plan to use your Instagram and grow it, it's going to be a content machine and you can't possibly create all that. Maybe you can, but it's going to be really hard. Photographers make it so much easier. Second one was highlight what's unique. I would say figure out what your money shots are. What are the things that you post about, whether it's inside the cabin or outside, that really seem to resonate with people? And then the third one you said, think about how you get them to follow you. And I think that's a big, as so many people are trying to consume less social media, everyone's talking about it, right? This is bad for my mental health. We are getting pickier about following. Back in the day, we'd see a cool reel and we would just click follow before we ever even checked out their profile, right? And that's not happening to the same degree. People are seeing a cool reel and then they're clicking on your profile and in a matter of like 2 seconds deciding whether they want to follow you or not. So your point about those first nine are really important, and not just being intentional with the photos, but is there text on there that tells them in those 2 seconds exactly what you're going to offer them? And with all these cabins now growing on Instagram, if you're just offering them a pretty cabin, that's not going to be enough anymore. There has to be something in those nine images or in your grid or your description that tells them what makes you different and why they should follow you.
Absolutely. And relatable too. You don't want it to be the most perfect scenario necessarily, or the prettiest. I don't know. Like, I think that's subjective as well, but something that ties back, like, I do not have the highest quality videos. I just film videos on my iPhone. Whenever we go to the cabin, which is like maybe once a quarter, for maintenance or restock or whatever, we'll go and I'll just, before we get out of the car, I tell my husband, I'm like, wait, I have to get content.
Son hates it. And we always arrive first thing in the morning after like a 13-hour drive. And so this last time he just sat as he pulled into the driveway and he goes, go ahead, get your content. And he's like dying to go to sleep.
We just had to replace our generator, actually, which was another fun story where a guest was without power and they ended up wanting to stay and they had a true off-grid experience, which I think it was great for them, but we gave them a refund and everything. But we had to go and replace the generator, and it was such a blessing because we had to take off work from our day jobs last Thursday to do it. But it had just snowed 8 inches the day before. And we don't get a lot of snow. Our cabin is, it's in the mountains, but it's really just below or just above sea level. And so snow is not super common, like maybe twice a year is it like an actual snow that sticks around. Of course, in the mountains, they get a lot more.
Right.
And so it was just amazing because my husband's like itching to get out and change the generator out. And I was like, no. I need to get, this is the most beautiful snow I've ever seen. I don't know if we're going to hit snow like this in a long time where we're going to be up to see it like pristine and perfect. And I was like, do not get out of the car.
All of the content.
He understands now too, but I've had other hosts ask me, they're like, how do you have so much content? I'm like, I film everything when we get there and I try to get a good variety and I have tons of videos that are terrible and I will never use because I just, the lighting wasn't good or just I moved too fast or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, honestly, I just try to get a lot. And I've also figured out what worked. Like, I film some stuff around like doing stuff around the cabin, but I know that that's not really what hits my audience is like me doing something or being in the frame. And so I kind of lean on some of the photographers or influencers we have stay to show more of like the personal element of it. And then I tend to highlight more of just the pretty scenes or different things that make an Airbnb nice or the riverfront or stuff like that too. So, or like,
that's really interesting.
Yeah. The ones I'm talking about is like the back of my head. Like you just see the back of my head, which is like that. I'm fine with that.
I was surprised by this because I've started to ask influencers, or I'm going to start to ask, this is new. Mm-hmm. I don't need that many with people in them because I prefer for the people on our grid to be us because I want people to find us and then immediately know who the humans are that they're talking to when they DM us. And I find when I like put a whole bunch of photos of other people on our grid, it gets confusing. Like, is that you? Is that you? Mm-hmm. And so I just don't share them that much. So that's really interesting to hear.
I usually just tag the photographer and such. So I think I kind of try to get away with it that way. So if someone reads the caption, it's like, oh, photo by so-and-so. You know, they had a great stay or whatever. And so I lean more on like, hey, it's not me. And I guess I actually have more photos of me in my stories and I'll add more fun elements into our stories where I also post if we have availability and cancellation. So I think a lot of people watch because of that. And then I mostly just share really pretty photos of the national park and from other people and just share relevant stuff that with you.
But I think actually to your, like what you were saying about not putting yourself in there, I think can be really helpful because the feedback I hear from a lot of people is I don't want to be on there, whether it's because I just don't want to share any of my like personal life on there, or I just don't feel comfortable or whatever it might be. I hear that way more than I hear, oh, I can't wait to put my face on camera.
Yeah.
So I think your success shows that if you don't want to share that, you don't have to. Here are the other things you can do. I think it's one of the reasons we've been successful because I've showed up on it so much, but I do not think that's the only way to be successful.
Yeah. I love your show. How you integrated your personality and your guys' faces. And I love watching your stories. And I think that's huge. And that's definitely a goal that I have is to get more that way. And I watched some of your original reels and posts when you guys were building and designing. And I was like, man, you guys really started from the beginning. I didn't even tell my family that we got the cabin until we started it.
Really? Why not?
Well, I didn't want any outside opinions. I had so much confidence in myself. And I'm not an interior designer. I'm an engineer. I'm not somebody who has all this experience, but I just had the vision and the passion. And I was like, I kept telling my husband, and he was a little bit, he was with me, but he was a little bit more of a doubter of like, we're going to fill out and all this stuff. And I was like, it's going to be before we had it. And it was in pretty rough shape in terms of the design of it. The structure was gorgeous, but we updated the kitchen and of course, all new furniture and such. But I just had so much confidence in myself that I was like, this is going to be beautiful. And it's going to, like, people are going to love it. It's going to be, it's going to have all the elements of an Airbnb that people want, like a full kitchen, lots of blankets, cozy stuff, a TV that's at a nice appropriate height. So we had pet peeve of mine, and we went back and forth too on, do we add a TV or not? And that's probably another discussion point we could have. And we opted to do that. And we added Wi-Fi. We hired an arborist to strap Starlink on top of a 120-foot cedar so that we could have a clear view. And now we have super fast Wi-Fi, which is insane.
I have never heard of that. Had they ever been hired to do that before?
So my husband found it through a Facebook group, and they're local to Washington, but they travel all over to do it. It's just these two guys who are arborists for their day job, and for the side job, they install Starlink. So instead of like cutting down trees to like have a clear viewpoint, because we're in the forest, right? And we are surrounded by these tall trees.
Right.
We didn't have a good view of the river, or sorry, a good view of the sky to get internet and to get Wi-Fi. We don't have power. And so, or we don't have connected power or any sort of like fiber internet or anything. And so it ends up working amazing. But kind of for that reason, we wanted it to be a place that was still solitude, but still had all the modern amenities that you would want in life. Like a cozy movie at night after a hike sounds amazing. And like, personally, I love TV. And so we opted to do a TV and have that in there.
And we don't have one, but we watch everything on our computers. And at one point we bought a projector screen and a little projector to hang from the bed. But I refuse to leave it for guests because I really want, we go there so often, right? It is our vacation spot. But I feel like if you're going there for a one-off experience, I want you to experience the connection with each other. And if we put a TV, but for our sake, we regularly watch TV when we're there.
Yeah. And it was really hard to design the space around it. And I had another point and I got sidetracked and now I totally forgot what that was, what I was saying earlier.
Well, this is a nice transition to interior design because that was the second big thing I really wanted to pick your brain about, because I think I've always hired interior designers. I love interior design. Yep. I love observing it, but I'm really bad at pulling a full space together. Even this office that I'm in right now, I hired Sarah from Secret A-Frame and she designed it remotely because I can like pick out a paint color I love, but then I try and throw like seven things together that I love and they just don't look good together. So it's not a strength of mine. And you did it yourself. And I think a lot of folks don't want to invest in an interior designer, which I totally get. Talk us through when you first walked into that cabin, how did your design mind work looking around? Could you picture already like what you could do with it, or did that come with time?
Great question. Definitely came with time. So what we looked for when we first walked in was, how did the space feel? And it was that instant feeling of warmth and just like coziness. And when you walk in the front door, when the river is high enough, you can see it from the front door out the back window. You can see it when you're sitting on the couch. Like, you just, the river is so close, you don't have to look through the trees. It's just right there. And so there are elements of it that we knew would just make it an amazing place. And I was like, I can work with this.
Yeah.
And the people who had owned it before were amazing and they did so much work on it and they actually live there full time. And they're just wonderful people. But the interior was very, I'd say comfy, cozy, but was not necessarily thought out in terms of the space and transition between things and colors and all that too. It was very dark. They had a dark rug and a dark ceiling fan. And I don't know, it just felt very dark. And so I really wanted to lighten that up, but I, am a little bit against painting wood within exceptional cases. And so yeah. we have pine walls and we have pine cabinets. And I said, I'm not painting anything. And there's a whole bunch behind that. But when it came to the design of it, I really was pull from what does a space call for itself? And in my inspiration for this, I was like, the space in the cabin is really meant to complement the nature that's outside. It's not meant to be its own space. It's, if it was in the middle of the city, for sure, I would have done stuff different. Or if it was surrounded by tons of other cabins really close by, I probably would have done stuff different. But it's just the cedars that are around it and the river that's behind it. I was like, that is the showstopper. I don't need to do anything on the inside that takes away from that. So I actually kept things very neutral and wanted to keep things not super textured, not super crazy, not super colorful. I see a lot of cabins that are gorgeous that have a lot of colorful couches and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like the big furniture is very colorful.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with the chair that you guys have in your kit. And I'm not talking about like accent pieces like that.
Yeah.
Of your chair anymore info. But in terms of like, I see lots of like almost glam style and it personally for me turns me off a little bit and they start to all look the same. And I'm like, I didn't want big blocky colors. I didn't want things that were going to look the same or was going to be kind of like, I hired a management company to decorate it for me. Like I wanted it to be personal still and very unique pieces. And I really was like, okay, what is the river? I mean, you see river and trees. And I was like, this is like the epitome of Japanese interior design style.
Mm.
Like Japanese style, you think of wood tones, soft textures, light colored linen, and just, you know, the calm and relaxing elements of that. And so I was like, that has to be the core of the design here, which is why a lot of like linen and cotton materials, and then the Japanese lantern pendant that's made of linen. Well, it's not paper because paper is fragile. So I got one on Etsy made of linen and it's beautiful.
Oh, and that's a hack right there. I didn't even know they made them in linen.
Yes. Yes. The amount of time I spent searching, I probably, for every element of the cabin and every interior design element, I probably spent at least 4 hours on the bed, on the chair, on the lighting, just for every element, because it was so important to me how it came together. And I basically, when we first got measurements of every room in the space. And then I made a 2D layout of it and I fit in different pieces to be like, how is this going to fit? Because it's kind of a weird, it's a very square shape. And then we have a kitchen along one wall. So it was odd to, how do I design the space and make the flow feel? So a lot of, when I think about interior design, core elements are flow, balance, textures, material combinations, colors, of course, and how do things fit together? And so first and foremost, I think functionality, like how are people going to use this space? And then I kind of design around that and based on the elements of, okay, I want this to feel a little bit more, the elements of Japanese style, not Japanese in itself, but feeling I'm looking at Japanese.
Like a nod to it, like a nod to the Japanese. Exactly. Like we're in the Pacific Northwest, but there's like a little wink to like that inspiration.
And there's a ton of Asian culture out here as well, just being on the Pacific Ocean in Seattle area. And so I made the beams that go along the river dark and we cover those in plywood and stain them a dark color. If you've seen the bedroom ceiling, I made this like linen.
I'm literally looking at that one and I'm like, oh, that looks like a tatami room. That looks very Japanese.
Japanese paneling. I was inspired by that and I could not find what I needed. And we had to cover the ceiling because they had cut an attic door in the ceiling, but it looked a little bit like a hack job. It just didn't look very pretty. And so I wanted to just cover it up. And there's another entry to the attic we have that looks much better. And I was like, you know, I think we can build something around this, but I didn't want it to be like a tapestry and look like a college dorm room. So there is inspiration for the Japanese behind that as well.
It looks really good. I used to live in Japan when I was in middle school, and my bedroom, I had the tatami room in the house. And that's exactly what my ceiling looked like. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So I just had this inspiration. And so I think when the design came, that's the point I was saying earlier was not telling anybody we were doing this.
Because
I didn't want any opinions or feelings of doubt to creep in. And that was really important for me because I was like, I have the confidence that we can do this. And I guess my parents knew because my dad's our financial advisor. But other than that, and I was like, I probably should let him know that we're going to spend a bunch of money on this.
As your financial advisor, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. And so that was the one exception. But because it was something that I hadn't done before, I didn't want anyone to say, oh, really? Like, you're going to go with that? Or, oh, that's a cool idea. But what did you think about this? or really just any opinion at all. And also that just takes time and energy away and makes me second guess stuff. And of course,
were you posting on social media at that point when you were designing it? Okay.
I didn't post anything until it was all done and it was already ready, which was May 15th. And we had a unique situation too, because we had planned a Europe trip, our first trip international ever. That was a 3-week trip. We left May 17th and we closed on the cabin April 28th. We had 2 weeks to get this up. It was insane. And
did you host your first guests when you were in Europe?
Yes. Not intentionally. We didn't intend to. We wanted to have it up so we could get photos and we could start getting bookings. And then we had blocked the dates. But then we had people, or I guess I don't think we had blocked the dates. But we just didn't expect anyone to book because it was right away. And people were like, hey, like, we want to book. Yeah. And I was like, oh, we're in Europe. Okay, well, I think it's fine. And we had already set up with, you know, our local emergency contact and then our cleaner and everything. So it was all ready to go. We just did not expect people to want to stay so soon. That really blew us away.
I think this is kind of that kind of like should have been an early warning sign of like, okay, this is going to do better than I might have thought.
I think so. I think the whole mindset. And so being in like, even like the consulting in my day job and in the realm of sales too, is like the mindset you have to have, I think, for success is that you've already won. It's already going to be like the place that we had, and the mindset was like, we knew it was a great cabin and we knew we'd figure out the logistics of Airbnb and cleaning and all of that. But I was like, we had the confidence that it was going to do well, that people were going to love it. I just knew like people are going to love this. And I didn't know to what extent. I never dreamed of Instagram being as big as it is. But I had the confidence that it was going to be beautiful. And maybe like, if you don't have that in yourself of like, I'm not an interior designer, I don't care about that, I don't understand that, then hire it out, or at least have some semblance of what does it look like to make this a space that people are going to want to be in? Like, elements, you know, not skimping out on cheap towels or cheap kitchen items.
Yeah.
Things like that. And just if you have a kitchen, that is, I guess.
This is a good takeaway, though, of like effective marketing takes confidence. For you to market and sell effectively, you have to believe in what you're selling. And so to your point, you were confident enough that you believed in it, even just the vision from the very beginning. Yeah. So you marketed it.
Idea. Yeah. Exactly.
And if you don't have that confidence, for example, myself in interior design, I hired an interior designer because I had confidence in her. So then when I was marketing it, I was genuinely confident, not in my own ability, but I was like, Jordan's going to nail this. Like, I don't have to worry about it. The inside's going to be amazing. So figuring out how you get that confidence can help a lot with marketing later on.
You don't have to do it all yourself. Like, I get people who reach out all the time who are like, hey, can I create content for you? And I'm like, no, because I genuinely like doing it myself. Mm-hmm. And I've done pretty good at it, but I have other cabin hosts.
You did okay.
It's fine. But I have other cabin hosts that I know and I'm connected with too, that are like, I don't really like doing this. You know, how do you, know, tips and advice and such. And it's like, there are a lot of people on the internet, I think, and on Instagram that can create really good content that even just through like user generated content doesn't have to be all yourself. Right. But you can leverage even just like, not necessarily being super regular or posting super regularly. I think if we're going back to Instagram and talking about the marketing side of things, like what's important for you? Do you want to I think it's good to have one, but it doesn't need to be, Instagram doesn't need to be everything. It doesn't need to have, it takes a lot of time to build up, and I've spent probably a little bit too much time focused on it, and especially building it out, but
I can relate.
Yeah. And so, but I think if that's not your forte, or if you don't necessarily need that, if you're next to a football stadium and you get lots of bookings already, you may not need it. But if we're talking cabins and more an escape in the woods, just focusing on what makes your place unique and highlighting that in your listing is going to draw people too. And beautiful photos, and just kind of a defining who's your ideal guest, even in the design process, thinking about who's our ideal guest. And honestly, the surprising factor is that we did not anticipate families like with small kids to be our ideal guests, because we thought they're going to be too scared because the river's right here.
Yeah.
But we actually have a lot of families. And so because of that, I added kids books and put in some new stuff. And we, of course, made sure everything was safe, and we have cordless blinds and stuff like that too, that makes it kid friendly, and all the cleaning supplies are high up on the shelf.
Yeah.
But trying to identify who would want to stay here. And I'm like people in Seattle who want to get away from the city in the winter, a short drive away. And then people who want to explore the national park and need a really nice home base essentially to stop and enjoy nature. And even though you're outside of the park, you can still feel it with the water from the river runs from the glaciers in the park. And so there's still that connection piece of it too. And just tying it all together, like, who's our ideal audience who would want to stay here?
Yeah.
And then designing around that as well. So like comfortable couch, really nice eating ware. And there's three restaurants in town, which are really great. We're right outside of a really small town, which is kind of the gateway into the national park.
Yeah.
But it's not super developed. It's not like it's a Vail, Colorado, where there's, you know, tons of things. And so we really relied on having everything you would need in the kitchen to make stuff. Most people we anticipated were going to cook. And so, and we say, hey, bring groceries in advance. Like if you're going to plan to cook, but kind of keeping that to our audience as well and knowing what's around versus if we're a lot closer to a city or a condo in the mountains, then maybe you wouldn't focus as much on that.
Yeah. I want to go back to interior design. Cause one thing I love what you said about like, you didn't want it to feel like you're replicating every other cabin out there. And honestly, I actually don't remember when I first found you. Or how. I wish I could, but I don't. But I do know that in looking at your grid, one of the pictures that immediately stuck out to me the most is probably not what you would consider one of your money shots, but it's of your kitchen table. And you can see it's like halfway down your grid, or maybe like a couple rows down. Sorry, I'm looking at your Instagram as we're talking about this. But it's your kitchen table because those chairs are almost the exact kitchen chairs that I had growing up. And what I love about it is like they're not, I wouldn't say they're like they're not a super modern, like high end type chair, but they're a chair with a lot of personality. And to me, it immediately felt like at home and it made your place seem different. It made me immediately visually identify that the inside of this cabin doesn't look like every other cabin. Obviously the river is a huge part of that, but in terms of the choices that you made inside of it, I kind of wish that's what I saw in more cabins on Instagram is like more of those kind of quirky, doesn't have to be nostalgic unless that's your brand and then that's awesome, but just like quirky stuff that you don't see in another cabin.
Yeah.
Stands out.
That gives me so much joy to hear you say that. Every single interior element was very specifically chosen. And those chairs are, I love that you said that you had them growing up because I was inspired by my grandparents' house. Because they didn't have those chairs, but they had rattan back chairs.
Yeah.
That were little arms and rolly. And I love them. And I just kept thinking about that. And I saw these chairs and these are the chairs that we have are like Sesca style. And so says, the chair itself is a, like an Italian design chair. And we don't have the actual chair. That would be expensive. We have replicas of them. And I just, they're fun, right? They don't have the four legs. So you kind of rock back in them and they're super great and people love them. They're very sturdy and I got them on Amazon and, you know, I did a lot of research to find good quality ones though. But I really love the elements of that. And I don't remember why specifically I went with those chairs and when was that in the process. The first thing I designed was the layout. And I knew I wanted round tables and I knew I wanted light colored sofas, and designing the layout of everything. But I think those chairs I just found early on and I was like, these are perfect because they've got the leather seats, but they're just different and fun.
Yeah.
They still have very like neutral and have those neutral elements.
Yeah.
And would fit the space well too. Cause I was like, if I do chairs with arms, it's not going to fit the space. We don't have a ton of room in our dining room. So I didn't want to have it be too bulky there, made sure there's room to get around, sit four people comfortably. I was also very intentional with the design of all of the tables in our cabin. So the dining table, the coffee table, and the side table are all round neutral wood.
And the deck table also round.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I that was part of the flow of the feel because the cabin is essentially one room with a loft bedroom and a bathroom. And so the main room is one big square. That's a kitchen on one side, the dining room, and then the living room area. And so what I really cared about was how will people move in this space and how will they use it together? Can someone be cooking while someone's at the table, while someone's reading in the living room? And can they all talk to each other comfortably?
You sound like an interior designer. Cause I will say like every interior designer I've worked with starts with function. How are you going to use the space? But I feel like very few spaces that people are designing themselves, they think about how it looks, how it's going to photograph first and not how it's going to feel when you're there.
That's a good point. Yeah. And so that was, thank you. That was an element of the round tables was like, literally a way for someone to move around as you're kind of flowing through the space. Like if you think about, and this is kind of the engineering side of like fluid dynamics with when you're looking at how fluid flows around an object, like an airplane wing,
yep.
It's going to follow the shape of the wing. And so in the case of the cabin, when someone walks in the door, what's their experience? Where are they going to move to? Yeah. And we had to work with what we had, and the room shape was a little bit odd. Also centering around what's the main object. Well, we had kind of two main objects of the river, so the view out the back,
yep.
And then the stove, the wood stove interior.
Yeah.
This beautiful stove in the corner. And so I was like, how do I add a TV, but also keep the stove as kind of the centerpiece? But also
it is still the centerpiece for sure.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of elements to that. And even the dark wood beams we intentionally made them dark. The beams were already there. They were just shiplap like the rest of the walls.
Yeah.
And we intentionally made them dark because I thought when you walk in, that's the first thing you see is a vaulted ceiling and you see the beams. And so having the dark beams literally makes a runway out to the river. And so it draws your eyes down the room to look out the river. And then I had the white curtains that literally frame the river out the back. So this is very intentional, the way I thought about what needs to happen. And maybe not everything needs to be that level of detail, but it was something.
I don't know. It's working for you.
Yeah. And just there's so many elements, and I love talking about this and could talk for hours on this topic. And even, you know, the kitchen design, the kitchen countertop is very unique as well. It's a quartz. Yeah. It's actually pretty cheap quartz. It was just one we found at the slab yard essentially. And it has these really colorful pebbles. It's a little bit, I really wanted a terrazzo was what I was going for. Mm-hmm. Not to tie back into the Italian theme.
Yeah.
I really wanted a terrazzo countertop. And I was like, we can't afford real terrazzo. But I found this quartz and I didn't know why. And I was like, I don't know why I love this so much. Something in my gut was telling me, this is beautiful. This is it. Like, I don't want the marbleized quartz. Like, it won't work because we already have kind of a marbleized texture through the wood, and the wood grain in the cabinet. So I didn't want more of that. And then I remember seeing the river when it got really low one time, and you just see the rocks a lot more. And I just was sitting at the table and I was looking at the counter and I was looking at the river. I thought, wow, like I was inspired subconsciously by the river for the countertop, and just the rocks in the river replicate really the rocks from the countertop, or that kind of look of the pebbliness. And so something about that and I wanted it to be unique. Like, I'd say advice for interior design for any other cabin or starting something out, whether you're building from scratch or you have a place that you're ready to design, like, don't be afraid to go unique and do something that fits a space well. Don't go unique and go crazy just to make something interesting, but make sure it fits the space. But don't be afraid to pull in elements that are about the location or surrounding the place that just are a little bit more non-traditional, because people I think are going to see that and are going to be drawn to that more.
And same with your stained glass window on the front of it. Did the cabin come with that, or did you put that in?
That came with it. Actually, I almost wanted to get rid of it.
Really?
A terrible mistake. Yeah. Well, because it was so bright and colorful. I was like, these colors, we're not going to do any colors inside. I was like, it's so bright, but it's really, really beautiful. And they had that put in. So that window is for the bathroom window. And so it's just really pretty. Bathroom lights on from the outside. You just see it bright.
Yeah.
And yeah, we actually get a lot of compliments on that. And I'm like, I take no credit. That was there before when we bought the place.
Which is kind of a beautiful, you did change a lot about it, but a beautiful like nod to the history of the cabin. It does have a lot of history. You were not the first owners or people to live in it. Mm-hmm. So to keep, like, I realize like you obviously want to redo a lot, but to keep one piece like that as just like a little, you know, I like that.
Yeah. All the shiplap. I added bookshelves for functionality. And so we added some things. And then of course the ceiling treatment for the bedroom. But other than that, we really just changed out the light fixtures and changed the kitchen counter and backsplash and then the bathroom vanity. We really, in terms of styling it, we did not do any sort of full gut, anything like that. I was like, how can I keep as much of this existing as possible? Because it was functional already and it was beautiful and it worked. I was like, I just want to complement what's already here with the space. And that's where
it makes it yours.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was kind of hard to figure out how will it all fit together in terms of colors and everything, because you think everything's already wood. Why would I add wood tables? Why would I add more wood? Yeah. But for some reason, I was like,
it works though. My interior designer was constantly warning me about wood tones. Too many wood tones, Janice. Too many. We need to cut out wood tones. But then I look at your living room and I'm like, it is working. It creates one feel in there. And it is really cabin-y to me, which is going to lead me to my last question. Okay. Before I ask you the last question, I want to read, folks, what you wrote in your pre-interview. I always ask the question, what does cabin culture mean to you? And I thought yours was really beautiful. So I copied it into my notes here. And I'm just going to read that. And then I want you to tell me what makes a cabin a cabin. Okay. So Jasmine said, cabin culture means creating an intentional experience for anyone to enjoy the fundamental elements of this world, getting closer to raw nature in a comfortable environment that enhances the natural surroundings rather than take away from it. It's not just a place to stay. It's an experience that gives a person peace, clarity of mind, and true rest in a space designed for it. Cabin culture is about breaking from the norms of daily life and going back to uninterrupted nature to focus on life's simplest pleasures. And I feel like what I admire most about your Instagram is that you have done this in your cabin, but not everyone is going to be able to go to your cabin for a variety of reasons. You have also done this with your Instagram. I feel like when I spend time on your Instagram, I feel some of the things that you're talking about in that description through the imagery that you're sharing and how you're sharing it. And I think that's as beautiful a gift as opening up your cabin to other people, because it does give all of us kind of a piece of that, even if we don't get to go to it. So if you haven't, if you're not following her, you should check her out. You're going to tell us where to find everyone. But first, tell us what makes a cabin, in your opinion.
Oh, man. From a definitional point, wood tones. I love wood. From like a pure like trees. I've, in my job too, I've been to a lot of like lumber yards and things like that, seen a lot of timber manufacturing. But I think it really just, it ties into a place where you can experience nature. But like I said, in my description, kind of from the comfort of, or having comfortable elements. And that doesn't necessarily mean electricity and all of that, but just a shelter. I mean, I guess by that definition, you could say a tent, it could be a cabin, but not in that case, but a structure that really embodies natural elements. So like most are made out of wood, but then also alludes to the like exteriors and the outdoors. And so a lot of Pacific Northwest style that I love and would love to have a cabin like this one day has big glass or big pane windows.
Yeah.
And so floor to ceiling windows. And that is like my dream to own a house like that, but own a cabin like that too, because I think that's just a good show of how do you bring the outdoors in? And I think a cabin in itself should do that well, of bringing the outdoors in some way. Maybe it's, it's a beachfront cabin and you bring in elements of the ocean. It doesn't have to be woods or forests.
That's a curveball right there. I've never heard anyone talk about a beach cabin.
Oh, really? I guess cottage, I guess maybe is more of the term.
I know, but this is where it gets complicated, but I like that. Okay, as long as you're bringing the outside in, your cabin clearly does that in such a beautiful way. Your location is incredible. Can you tell people where to find you if they have not found you already?
Yeah, sure. So our Instagram is at North Cascades Haven with underscore between each word, North underscore Cascades underscore Haven. And we are located in Marble Mount, Washington. So we're 2 hours outside of Seattle, north and a little bit east into the mountains and right outside of North Cascades National Park.
Is that the closest airport as I'm planning my trip? Is Seattle the closest airport?
There are technically two, but the main one is Seattle-Tacoma International Airport.
Okay, that's
the one. It's just on the south side of Seattle. There's a smaller regional one up in Everett called Painfield, which is if you fly from California or somewhere local, it's a little bit more pricey to fly into, but that's probably an hour and a half away from the cabin, so a little closer. But most will fly into Seattle-Tacoma.
Okay, helpful to know. Jasmine, this was so great to chat with you.
Likewise, Janice. Yes, so great to meet you too, first time. I'm sure it won't be
you
the last
too.
Time.
You too, I know, again. Definitely.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us. And if you liked what you heard, feel free to leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify or share some of your favorite parts over on Apple Podcast. If you have feedback or suggestions for the future, you can also find me on Instagram at Cozy Rock Cabin. Looking forward to next week.